I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
Good morning, everybody.
So much younger than
this
today.
Is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. We're listening to music by the Beatles. One of my favorite songs, written by Lennon and McCartney back when I was a teenager. I hate to think how many years ago that was, but hey, those guys could write music, and help is what we all need from time to time. So thanks, John. Thanks, Paul, for writing that song called Help. You Get the Blessing exists because we believe there are people impacting this community for Christ day in and day out. And our guests each week are folks just like that. Today we have as a special guest Jacqueline Graham. Jacqueline, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Bo.
Jacqueline is a first-class name. And do you mind if I call you Jackie?
Not a problem.
Okay, so when my dad was a baseball player with the Cleveland Indians, the broadcaster's name was Jimmy Dudley in the 40s and 50s. And I was born in 49, and he chose to name me Dudley. And my nickname for 15 years was Dud.
Oh.
Doesn't work for anybody. I can see your reaction. But fortunately, when I was 20, I got a nickname of Bo. So we'll call you Jackie, even though I like that name, Jacqueline. Very classy.
Thank you.
I don't like the name Dudley. I wouldn't name a dog Dudley, would you?
I don't know. It has its... I could see why he would call you Dudley.
I used to say, Dad, you could have named me Jimmy. Your friend would have been happy, and I'd have had a much easier life. But I want to just start by having you share your incredible testimony, Jackie. And if you don't mind, just maybe start with where you're from and what were things like around your home growing up.
Well, yes, I'm from California. I was born in Southern California in San Bernardino at Norton Air Force Base, so I am an Army brat. And my teenage years were in San Francisco in the Bay Area. So California is my home. I grew up I'm the youngest of eight children. My mother had eight children. By the time I came along, she decided that she no longer wanted to travel overseas to places like Japan and Germany. So she settled. They settled in Southern California, and I'm the youngest of eight. My mother was a born-again Christian. My father grew up in a Christian home. However, his father was an evangelist that was fairly abusive to them as far as, you know, you beat your children into shape kind of thing. So, needless to say, he walked away from the faith, but went to church as a child, but never was it anything that really impacted me. It was just something that we did. And then when I was 9 years old, my mother died suddenly. She was 42 years old. And my world...
That's too young. My mom died when she was 54. And that was too young. I was 26, but 9-year-old kid and your mom dies, that's tough.
It was very tough, and it was very scary because back in those days, it wasn't like you took your children aside and explained to them the process, right? You didn't explain to them the process. So my mother had eight kids. She actually had 10 kids in about 12, 13 years. So we were all very close in age, ranging from, you know, 9 months apart to maybe 18 months apart. And so we were all very young. I was nine. I think my oldest sister might have been, you know, 17, something like that, 18. And so as a result of that event, I was bounced around a little bit, family members. My dad did remarry after about 3 years. He remarried a wonderful woman. My stepmother was great to us. She was from Seattle, and she took on the younger set. The older set kind of fend for themselves. And so we moved back to the Bay Area, and I became a wild child. I experienced things that no young person should probably experience. I grew up in the city and was exposed to all kinds of things, At the age of 15, I was raped, and that was another event in my life that really changed me.
Did you get help to get over that, or how'd you get through it?
No, didn't really tell anyone, didn't tell, you know, my parents at the time, because I was out partying when I shouldn't have been, kind of thing. And but I remember it changed me, and I became very promiscuous. But there's always been one thing about me. There's always been this desire to know truth, and there's always been a desire for God, even though I didn't know it at the time. Always was looking for things spiritually. I was one of those kids when, you know, we lived in Seattle for a while, and I remember I was in junior high, and we went down to my friend's basement, and they had this Ouija board, right? So we're down there playing with this Ouija board, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's using it, nothing's happening. But when I put my hands on it, you know, things are starting to move. And I used to have out-of-body experiences. Those things are really real. I tell people all the time, there is a spiritual realm there that's scary, and it's not of God. Mm. And the enemy is always looking for that inroad, even innocently. When we do things as children, what we expose ourselves to, we just don't realize that he's lurking around the corner.
That's the voice of Jacqueline Graham. You're listening today to Today. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host. And Jackie's talking a little bit about her background. So wild child sounds like an understatement. You were experimenting with everything you could. And yes. What was the turning point that got you back on track?
So I graduated from high school early, Galileo High, which of course is O.J. Simpson's alma mater, and moved out on my own when I was 17 because I always felt like nobody really cared. You know, you're bounced around here and there, and I was going to get my own place, and I was very independent. And so I did that and decided to move to Phoenix to go to school with a boyfriend. That didn't work out, and then decided I didn't want to move back home, so I moved to Colorado, where I met my ex-husband. And while I was preparing for our wedding, got the news that my father passed away from a heart attack. Mm. At that time, I think I was 20 or 21, so I flew home to San Francisco for the wedding, and my sister had just, one of my older sisters, I have six sisters. Well, one of my older sisters had just had this traumatic conversion to Christianity. I mean, she got saved supernaturally, right? So her mandate at this funeral was to tell her entire family to get right with God.
Enthusiasm.
Yes. So I'm sitting there getting my hair done. It's before the funeral, and I had a brother that was into the Muslim faith, and she was this born-again, radical, you know, Christian. And so they were both giving me scriptures from the Quran and giving me scriptures from the Bible. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. And I'm telling him, oh, yeah, that sounds good. And meanwhile, you know, I'm getting high all the time. I've got a gram of cocaine in my pocket while they're talking to me. And I'll never forget this. My sister looks at me and she puts her hands out and she puts it toward my brother. And she goes, get behind me, Satan. And she looks at me and she says, Jackie, if you want to know the truth, just ask God to show you the truth. And so that night,
kind of a fog cutter. Let's simplify this.
Yes.
Just ask God.
Just ask God. So I went to my sister's home, you know, because I was living in Denver, and my other sister, I went back there that night. And now I know what happened to me, but you have to understand, I didn't know what was happening when it happened. But now that I know God and I know the Spirit of God, I know exactly what happened to me. So I'll explain it in those terms. So I go in the bedroom, and really, I wasn't planning to ask God anything, but the Holy Spirit drew me to my knees. That's the way I can describe it. And I got down on my knees by the bed, and I said, God, if you are real, I want to know the truth. And immediately, the Lord touched me. You know, have you ever heard, all I can call it is like liquid love. It was this presence that touched me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And the Lord spoke to me who he was. And I, this is why I tell people, if I know that Jesus Christ is real, because when he touched me, first of all, I just fell backwards and I began to get really fearful because I wasn't sure what this was. But the angels begin to sing in this room. Oh, how I love Jesus. Just angelic, loud voices. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I remember, you know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will bring all things back to our remembrance. And I don't remember learning the Lord's Prayer, but I obviously did learn it because I begin to say it. And the one thing that came out of my spirit is I was so sorry. I just started saying, God, I'm so sorry. Here you are, the creator of this universe, and you are actually really real. And look at me. I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. And I was just sorry, right? I was sorry. It was like repentance was coming out of me, even though I didn't know I needed to repent. And so then I started getting really fearful because, you know, the angels are singing in this. I know it's angels now. I didn't know, but it was talking about Jesus.
Wait, let me interrupt. Did you still have the cocaine in your pocket when those angels were singing?
I still did.
I was thinking, I'm glad you hadn't used that cocaine at that point.
I hadn't used it because I'm glad you brought that up because the next morning my sister said the same thing. So anyway, these angels, and then I got fearful. Do you remember the movie The Exorcist?
Yes.
Okay, I went and saw that movie. I didn't know what the movie was about. My boyfriend and I went and saw it, and it was so packed that we had to get the front row seat, you know, in the front, you know, like this in the movie theater. And so the only thing I could think, oh, God is on the scene, so the devil was coming. So I got really afraid. And I remember getting up and getting in the bed, and I pulled the covers over me. Because I was just expecting, I don't know, some kind of demonic experience now that God had touched me like that, right? And I remember that the Lord then, literally, I could feel him put his arms around me and hold me, and I fell asleep. And I slept that entire night, which I never do because I was, you know, always, you know, using cocaine or drugging or doing whatever. But I was also in school and education was really, I mean, I thought I had my act together like a lot of young people now. Oh, I can do a little of this and a little of that. But I'm on a track. I'm in school. I'm getting my degree. I'm doing all these things. But I was, I remember falling asleep with his arms around me. And then when I woke up, I could feel his presence leave me. I jumped up out of the bed. I run downstairs and my sister's in the kitchen and I go, guess what happened to me last night? And she goes, what? I said, God touched me last night. And I was so excited. I said, God touched me last night. And so I tell her what's happening and she says the same thing. You do. Are you sure that you weren't? I said, listen, I know about being high, but I am telling you, he touched me last night. So the only thing I could think to do is get to my other sister, the one that had said, get behind me, Satan, which was across the street where my dad and my stepmother lived. So I run across the street and I bust in the door and I go, Donna, guess what happened to me last night? And she goes, what? I said, God touched me. And she just dropped everything. She ran over and she hugged me. And you know what she said? Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. And then I'm like, oh, that's what they were singing and the angels. But I believe the Lord did that just so that I knew that this was really him, that this was me. And she doesn't remember saying that, but that's the first thing that came out of her mouth.
So my conversion experience was sitting with Don Reavers at a restaurant and he explains the gospel to me. And I said, really? Why doesn't everybody do that? That sounds like a irresistible free gift God's offering us, a relationship with him. Other people I've talked to have had as dramatic of conversion experiences as you have, but it all starts when you sort of get to the end of yourself and just, whether you know it or not, you're at the end of yourself. You fall to your knees and say, exactly what did you say again?
I want to know the truth.
I
said, God, if you're real, I want to know. I want to know the truth.
So if you're listening today and you don't know Christ, that's a good place to start. God, I want to know the truth, and let God follow through on his end of the deal and do his part like he did with Jackie Graham, our guest today. So I'm assuming there's a lot of steps in between that conversion experience and where you are now, but let's jump ahead to you're in Denver, and you're now the principal and executive director of Inner City School, and that's what the name of the school is, Inner
Yes.
City School. So how did that come about? And then we'll discuss how people may be able to help you.
So, yes, I then, of course, was a radical Christian telling everybody about Jesus. I did marry the man that I was engaged to because my dad died 2 or 3 days before I was supposed to be getting married. So, well, actually 2 or 3 weeks before. And he was going to come to Denver. And I married this man. Of course, it didn't work out. He ended up getting strung out on crack cocaine. But my faith never wavered. One thing that I can say that I've never turned my back on the Lord. I was radically saved on that day, and I've been radically saved ever since. I love him. He is the lover of my soul. The Lord walked me through. I had 3 babies during the time that I was married. I became a single parent, and I remember my kids were going to school, and I wanted to put my youngest daughter in school, and she was too young, and someone told me about a Christian school. It's called Cedarwood Christian Academy. That's in Aurora. It's still around today. And said, well, you should put her there because daycare was so expensive. If I put her in school, it would be a lot less than paying daycare. So I put her in this little small private school. And I remember telling the Lord, I was driving a truck. I worked for the post office at the time. And I was in my truck, and I said, Lord, I just don't want to put one of them. If I'm going to put one in private school, I want to put all, you know, all 3 of them in there. And I just was talking to him about how I can't. I just can't do it. I don't have the money. I can't. And the Lord spoke to me audibly in that postal truck, and he said, but Jackie, I can. And I was like, that's right. You can. And from that moment forward, with all the struggles that it took to and all the work in 2 jobs and all of that, I put my kids in Christian Ed, and then they were in Christian Ed until the time that they graduated from Faith Christian Academy in Arvada. And they were head and shoulders above their peers when they graduated. And then I also started teaching at that very school, high school Bible and history and English, and fell in love with Christian Ed because one of the things that I did not get in my public school education in California, I graduated a year early, and I can tell you I went to school high every day. I skipped props classes at least 2 or 3 times a week, and I still graduated with A's. Now go figure how that happens. But that was the kind of education I received. And as I began to teach from a biblical worldview, science, math, history, and what our great God has done in those areas. See, history is really his story, right? The story of what man has done with the time God has given him. And so I just fell in love with the whole concept of teaching from that worldview. And so I started teaching. Then I went on staff at my church for about 10 years as an administrative pastor. And then Luis called me from Save Our Youth and told me about a small school that was looking for a principal. At that time, I had went back and got my master's in education. And so God had it all timed. And I started in 2008 of January at Inner City School, which is a private Christian school. We go from pre-K through 6th grade in the inner city, right off of 36th and Josephine. And so I've had the privilege of leading that school since then.
What was the date again?
January of 2008.
So you've been doing it quite a while.
Yes, and it's listen, I will tell all of my listeners and your listeners out there right now that love education and love our children and love the fact that God should have his proper place in education, that unless the Christian community supports Christian Ed in the inner city, it will cease to exist. because we have to, of course, make tuition extremely affordable for people in that area to be able to do it. As you know, it's very expensive. So
so we need help.
We need the help all that we can. But, you know, there is a quote by Abraham Lincoln that I use all the time because I think it's so fitting. He said that the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next. And I believe that's what we see now. Our populace and our government is just a result of its citizens, right? The way that we've been trained. Children have been trained from a secular humanistic worldview, and it's just the way that it is. I'm not against public ed. I like to make that clear. I'm just for Christian ed. And I believe that once we understand that God, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. That's in Proverbs 1:7. And then in, I think it's Proverbs 2:6-7, it says that we need, that the Lord is the one that gives us wisdom, and that we need to ask him for that. From his mouth, it says, comes understanding and knowledge. See, our forefathers understood that. In 1642, the first educational act in America was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. Did you know that?
Did not.
Okay, so in 1642, the Puritans decided that, first of all, Satan has always deceived people because they don't know the scriptures. So in America, they wanted a literate population that could understand and read so that they could what? Read the Bible. If you Google Old Deluder Satan Act, that's exactly what it'll say. Our first educational act was so that children could learn to read the Bible. And therefore, if you had children in your community, they wanted them to be taught that. And then in 1787, the Northwest Ordinance, of course, they have three dominant points of why we need education in America, and that is to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. See, a lot of people think that, oh, the Bible had no place. But really, our foundation is based upon the Bible being the number one textbook in our schools.
Teach religion, morality, and?
Knowledge.
Isn't that an interesting order? So we've got it all out of balance and all out of order, because not only does the public schools fear the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, a fear component of that word would be respect. Mm-hmm. We completely go out of our way to disrespect. And not only dilute, but eliminate God in their public schools. So I'm with you. It's some good parts to it, but they left out the sure. key to the whole thing. So how can people, what's your website? People can get involved and help with the inner city school that you're running. Okay. How can they give money? How can they?
Yeah, so we're getting ready to have a gala. I invite you all at the Cable Center, which if I don't know if you've ever been there, out by DU, and it's on April the 6th. Tickets are $65 to attend that gala. We'll have our kids perform, and you'll learn all about inner city school. You can get table sponsorships there, and you can reach us on our website, which is innercityschool.org.
Innercityschool.org.
Just innercityschool.org. And that information is on there as well. Our phone number is 303-316-4533. If you are looking for a small private school, we are small and we're a family that love the Lord, and we're rigorous in our academics. As a matter of fact, I would say that our curriculum is probably a grade to two grades higher than what they're getting in the public schools right now. That please contact us and come by and take a tour. We'd love to get to know you and meet you.
That is the voice of Jackie Graham. She's the principal and executive director of Inner City School, which is a small Christian school in our inner city here in Denver. Your testimony was beautiful, and thank you, God, for your faithfulness
yes.
to us to bring us back to our remembrance, even when we make choices that cause us to veer way off the track, and we've all done it, Jackie, so I'm glad you're back doing this now for the cause of Christ and these kids. What a better calling in life. And listeners, know this. Now, what would a table sponsor cost for your gala?
Anywhere from $500 to $10,000. It just depends on what, you know, what sponsor level you want to be at.
So we're looking for somebody that hears this today and understands that every organization is a reflection of its leadership for good or for bad. So to have Jackie Graham in the position she's in as the principal and the executive director of this school is such a good thing that this thing is going to go the right direction. And under her leadership, this inner city school is going to be impacting kids forever. So you might be wanting to measure the effective impact of your investment. I'm telling you, we'll be able to do it in the lives of these kids that are going through this school right now. So go to innercityschool.org, look up the gala, look up any other specifics that she may have that they have need for right now. Think about a donation. Maybe I'm in for $500 from our show today to you.
Awesome.
I'll make sure Mark gets that to you quickly.
Thank you so much.
Do whatever you want with it in terms of the gala. I'm still kind of
we'd love for you to
baseball.
Come.
Oh. I know. Sorry. I think is opening day the 7th.
Yeah. I think I heard you on the radio today. Focus on the Family.
Oh, I was.
About your dad's testimony.
Was it any good?
Yeah, I was driving in and he said, Bo Mitchell. I said, I think he's the one that was just on the radio.
Well,
Small world, see?
We hope God uses that too. You're talking about a book we wrote called Grace Behind Bars about our lives.
Yes, and you can get yes. That book in the... I heard you this morning.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for being such a great guest, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you listeners, please understand that writing a check, that's a good part of it, even though not the best part of it in terms of the body of Christ. But stop
and think about
this.
Volunteers are always welcome too.
Yeah, we need volunteers. We need money. Innercityschool.org. Jackie Graham, thank you for being here. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll see you next week on You Get the Blessing. You know, I need someone. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind.